Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight and each and every person that's watching us online. We thank you that you do have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void. But Father God, we thank you that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, we'll take forth the word that we hear that springs forth life on the inside of us and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, and your ability, that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But most of all, Father, we thank you for that anointing that's present tonight, that anointing that we stir up in our own lives, that anointing that in an instant will change us, that sets us free. We thank you that anointing is present and it's overflowing over us tonight. Father God, we thank you for Mom and Dad and the Crusade team as they're there in Idaho. We thank you for many lives being touched, many hearts being touched. We thank you that Dad's back is well and healthy, and we thank you for great things that we shall hear. We thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Hope everyone's doing wonderful tonight. At least it's not raining yet. I mean, you know, last night it was raining quite a bit. So, you know, some people say it was raining cats and dogs, but I never saw a cat or a dog fall out of the sky. So it was just raining a lot. A lot of water was falling, all right? All right, well, tonight I don't know if this is a real message or really what it is, but, you know, on Wednesday night it's kind of like, you know, this is our church family, and we kind of talk to you guys as our church family. And I just want to talk to you about an experience that happened to me last Wednesday night after church, and hopefully it never happens again. Anyway, so last Wednesday night after church, I left here, and actually I met my wife and my granddaughter at a restaurant closer to my house that we go to quite frequently because it's one of my grandfather's favorite places to go, and it's relatively cheap, all right? So we probably go there a couple times a week, sometimes even more than that, and we got to know most of the servers there. In fact, the lady who waited on us is probably one of my favorite servers that I have. And when we got there, she sat us down, and, you know, because I believe she's worked there for about 3 years, and I found that out later on when she was telling me the story. But anyway, she said, yeah, well, it was kind of quiet tonight. Well, now, she said, we just had a big table of teenagers, but what was worse is I had a table of Christians. And said, you know, teenagers are I mean, you know, they're bad to deal with, but these Christians were just terrible. I mean, they were just, you know, I could barely deal with it. And she goes, and then so when she said that, you know, she just sat us down and she left. And so when she came back, I told her, I said, well, but we're Christians, and not only are we Christians, I said, I'm a pastor. And actually, it freaked her out. It freaked her out because she couldn't believe that that I was a pastor, because she said, well, you guys are some of our favorite customers. In fact, whenever you walk in, everyone fights to get your table. And she, you know, now obviously she could believe I was a Christian because there are a lot of people in Tulsa that are Christians. Now, before some of you say, well, you know, it was probably one of those denominational churches, and I don't know what church it was, but I will tell you the closest church to that restaurant is a non-denominational church, you know, Bible-believing, you know, Spirit-filled. In fact, a lot of my friends, Ron Raymer graduates, go to that church. There's a good chance that some people at the table were Raymer graduates, so just like you, all right? Now, I'm not saying, I don't know who was there. I don't know who the Christians were there because they already had left, and I don't even know what they said. You know, but it's interesting. You know, the way that we treat people a lot of times is based upon a story that we hear. You know, The day and age we live in, you know, we feel sorry for people once we hear their story. And so, in fact, anyone ever watch American Idol? Anybody that's been going on for however many years? Two people watch American Idol. All right. I'm sure most of you have seen episodes of American Idol at some point in time. American Idol is a singing competition, but if you watch American Idol enough, that you'll notice even from day one, they show backstories of how this person, you know, they had lost everything in life, and you know, their house burnt down. They have 12 kids, and you know, they're the youngest of 12, never had any food, and they're here to come and try out for the singing competition. You know, and they can sing, but you know, I've seen people go further in American Idol that can't sing as good as some people that can sing because they have a better story. We feel sorry for the people with the story. You know, and it's interesting, even as Christians, a lot of times, once we hear someone's story, then we feel sorry for them, then we feel compassionate for them, but if we don't know their story, we treat them like dirt sometimes. Not intentionally, but you're there's just another person. Now, it is interesting because this lady, I'm assuming, has worked there for 3 years. I know she's worked there for a couple of years. And here's what she told me. So I have never heard her story, you know, until that night. She said, I moved to Tulsa 3 years ago. And I said, I've been clean from drugs and alcohol for 3 years. I got sober. And in order to be sober and stay sober, my husband and I decided to move from our hometown to this place that we didn't know anybody here. It said, really, she had told us that she's not a religious person, and now she hasn't, I haven't figured out why. I'll talk to her longer, you know, more. But she already has something against Christians for some reason or another, and probably because people are probably judgmental toward her because she's lost her kids. I mean, her daughter's 13, and she still can't see her daughter any. You know, I mean, I think she said she had 3 kids, you know, and she's lived a rough life. But, you know, the last 3 years, I mean, you know, she's tried to straighten her life out, and she's done all that she can to straighten her life out, you know, and I mean, she comes to work, she, you know, she's a nice person. I mean, we talk to her quite frequently, always, you know, and the thing about it is, I believe if those Christians would have known her story, they probably would have been nicer to her. Now, on a good note, actually, I was telling them how I urge a lot of Christians, you know, we have meetings, and I always urge people to give a tip, and if you're not going to give a tip, please take your badge off, or please don't let anyone know you're coming to one of our meetings. But you know what she said? So they tipped okay, but it still wasn't worth it. They treated her badly. You know, and her whole point was, doesn't that kind of go against you guys, you know, what you teach as Christians? You know, didn't Jesus talk about loving people? And, you know, I mean, you know, it kind of bothered her. But you know, the good note was I was able to tell her that I was not only a Christian, you know, I was a pastor. And whenever I left, actually, I was talking to one of the other servers, thanked me and said, you know what, you made a huge impact on her life tonight because of what you said. Because of what happened today, I mean, you know, she said, I'm a Christian, you know, and I was talking to her about, you know, these people do not, you know, signify all Christians. But here's the thing, you know, maybe they don't, but you can go online. I went online and found out there are stories like this all over the place where servers don't want to wait on Christians because they tend to be rude. You know, they tend to make less money. You know, in fact, this is kind of interesting. You know, I'm just being honest with you guys tonight a little bit about some things, you know, and how we should be more Christ-like. But it says, one anonymous waitress wrote about a Sunday experience that convinced her not to give Christianity a shot. Here's the story. It says, for me, what made the experience so bad wasn't the rude behavior from these adult women or the cheapness of stiffing me on the tip or the sneakiness of leaving fake money, which would leave one of those tracks that looks like money. I don't know if you've ever seen those. It happens a lot. Leaving fake money on the table or the assumption that I was beneath them because I didn't discuss my beliefs with them or any or or any of the other things that added up into the experience she wrote. What really got me was that I was in a place that very day where I was considering going to church. A friend of mine had just committed suicide, and that very church had been recommended for me for grief counseling. I never went. I worked through it on my own. But the point is, those rude, presumptuous, and honestly mean women were the only, and she, all capital letters she put, the only thing standing between me and the church that that was so important to them that I attend. Now on Sunday mornings I sleep in, and that works nicely for me. You know, a lot of us believe that, you know, that we are, well, we're all called to be a witness for Christ, but, you know, a lot of us are more heavily in going door to door and witnessing. But, you know, here's the thing. You realize there are a lot of anti-witnesses for Christ. There's probably more anti-witnesses for Christ than there are people that are witnessing to Christ. Now, you know, we don't mean to be an anti-witnesser, but a lot of times we do by our actions. Now, especially when people know that you're a Christian. Not everyone knows you're a Christian, but now it's pretty normal, especially after Sunday mornings, that whenever you have a big table, there are usually a bunch of people who have been at church. Because one thing people like to do, they go to church, they like to fellowship. And, you know, it's interesting that this woman, that this waitress and the other one as well that was there said, you know, one of the biggest things that we don't like to deal with is teenagers. Because they're all always needy, and they're always wanting stuff, and they usually don't have a lot of money for a tip. But it's interesting that this woman would have said the teenagers were actually better than the church members. And that's a sad part. Now, the teenagers there might also have been church members as well. I don't know, because, you know, I mean, I said I spent a long time in youth ministry, and I get it. Teenagers are a pain. They are. They're a pain to be around. All right, if you have my class, it's one of the big reasons why people don't want to be a youth minister, because teenagers are a pain, and their parents are a bigger pain. And any of you have been in youth ministry, it's true. So, it's interesting. And, you know, reading this online is interesting. There's another lady that, put the worst tip of my life. This waitress, you know, on a Sunday morning, she got a $3 tip after serving a table of 13. Then here's a full-time student that works about 30 to 35 hours every week, and because of the way that works, she works doubles on Sunday. And so she said the Sunday crowd, she accused them of being condescending toward her. You know, and she talked about them leaving fake $5 bills, you know, as tips. There was another individual that happens to live a homosexual lifestyle, put a copy of a receipt that the person, actually it was the pastor, unfortunately, said that they could not leave them a tip based upon their lifestyle. I mean, it sounds just like Jesus, you know. The woman, it was obviously not. You know, it is interesting, you know, what people think about Christians, you know, and I've often said many times, and people think I'm joking, but you know, I'm not joking. I'm really serious when I say this. You know, I'm almost 50 years of age, and if somehow in the 50 years that I have lived my life that I hadn't become a Christian as of yet, I don't know if I would be a Christian based on experiences of people that are Christians on an outside situation like a restaurant or like a, you know, at the mall and things like that. If I happen to be a person that was a server or whatever. I don't know if I'd become a Christian based upon the way most Christians act. You know, just because, you know, obviously I grew up in church, and obviously I know that just because people act bad doesn't make them, You know, it doesn't mean they're bad people or whatever. And I get it. Sometimes we have our own stories too. We're going through stuff as well. And sometimes, you know, we're at a restaurant and you know, things have happened and whatever. But you know what? Your story doesn't really matter. What matters is that we should respect one another. You know, and these people are just trying to make a living. You know, and if we really want to be a witness, you know, it's obviously this woman, you know, had worked there for 3 years, and I've never talked about Christ to her because, you know, normally we talk about food. What do you want? Eat. You know, you know, the opportunity had in her eyes. No one's ever, but now the great thing about this whole thing is she now opened the door for me to talk about other things. In fact, you know, last Wednesday night we talked about, you know, talked about Christians. We talked about people. We talked about her life. Now I know her story. I didn't know her story before. So if there was one positive thing, it's opened up we already had a relationship of some sort because, you know, I would see her a couple times a week, you know, but now it opened up even more to now be a bigger, you know, witness to her. And, you know, but what the shocking part about it was she couldn't believe I was a pastor because she didn't think pastors would be like that, like nice and kind, which blows my mind because I thought, you know, that pretty much as a pastor, that's part of your job, to be nice and kind. Now, let me tell him all myself, you know, because I'm not always perfect, even though most people think I am. I guess it's just me. I did leave a bad tip one time. All right. I was 17 years of age. So I guess it was probably about 1987. Could have been 86. I don't know. Anyway, I left a bad tip. My meal, our meal, I was eating out with my girlfriend at the time, who happened to also be a server. And basically she said, I have never seen somebody give such bad service. And so I think the meal was like $24.99. I know it was 1 cent below a dollar because I tried to leave my normal tip and she picked it, my girlfriend picked it up and said, no, you're going to leave like $25. So basically I left a 1 cent tip. All right. Because she said, if someone came to my restaurant, then I wouldn't expect a tip treating people like that. All right, so that was on a Friday night or Saturday night. I'm not sure which one, but it was like the weekend night. Fast forward to Sunday morning. At that time, we were over at RMA. That was where the church was. Sitting down, you know, singing, you know, I think we're standing up during praise and worship. My girlfriend was with me as well. Lo and behold, two rows behind us. Guess who's sitting two rows behind us? The server from the couple nights before. And so I didn't notice her at first. My girlfriend did. And so she said, hand me one of those offering envelopes. And I said, why? So we passed an offering envelope back with a $5 bill to the lady. And that was the last bad tip I ever left in my entire life. And I wasn't even going to leave a bad tip. I was going to leave the like $30, you know, because, you know, that's just how I am. You know, I guess it's one of those things, your sins will find you out type deal. Now, see, it's a little different for me because a lot of people know me. So you know, obviously, you know, I need to be nice. But you know, I don't be nice because people know me. See, you know, that's the thing is maybe the only time you guys are nice when people know you. You know, but we should be nice at all the times. Now, let's go to the Word. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. Actually, chapter 5, excuse me. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, 1. It says this, reading from New King James first. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now, it says to be imitators of God. And a lot of times people say, well, it's hard because I really never seen God or seen God in action. But you know, the Bible says, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because Jesus was an imitator of God. So we need to be imitators of Christ. And Jesus always walked in love. I mean, he's the one that says, you know, he without sin cast the first stone. All right? He always walked in love. And, you know, back in the 90s, we had that WWJD, you know, thing. But interesting part about it is most people that got the bumper stickers, the bracelets, the coffee mugs, and everything else, they didn't really act like Jesus did. They just got onto the marketing, you know, scheme. Because Christians, for the most part, seem to be more condescending, judgmental. You know, and I've never figured out why people are judgmental, because we have a scripture that says, judge not, lest you be judged. I tell you, I don't want to be judged about anything, so I'm not going to judge anybody else. You know, reading from the New Living Translation, Ephesians 5, it says this. It says, imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, in everything you do, whether it's public or private, imitate God. Why should we imitate God? Because you are his dear children. We're the children of God. We're his offspring. All right? We should be an imitator. It says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us as a pleasing aroma to God. So sometimes whenever we read that, we think about Christ being sacrificed for us. That's how much he loved us. But, you know, he was a man filled with love. When he walked the earth, he had love. Now, you know, being an imitator of Christ, one of the easiest things us as mere people can do to imitate Christ is love people. All right, because in order to feed 5,000, it's probably going to take more than a couple of fish and some bread. All right, you know, to imitate that is you know, I mean, you know, that's a big deal. But it's really easy to imitate Christ's love for people. That's easy. You know, but a lot of times say, well, I wasn't thinking about it. You're not thinking about it? Well see, here's the thing is, I actually think a lot of people, the only reason they act a certain way is because somebody else is watching them. Or somebody else is around. So I guarantee you, if they went to another restaurant where they knew the server, they probably would act differently. Well, yeah, because I know them. I grew up with them. Why would you act differently to that person? And really, if we're trying to be a witness to the world, wouldn't we want to really, if we're going to act the most loving, it should be the people that don't know us, we should act the most loving. The people who do, I mean, they can count it off, well, they're just having a bad day. That's okay. I know that person, so I'll vouch for them. They're a good person. This person, they don't know you. They don't know that you're really a good person. They don't know that you just happen to be being frustrated that day or whatever, or was going through some, you know, whatever you're going through. Or maybe these people didn't like the pastor's message. I don't know, and they were frustrated about it. I don't know why they were mad. And I don't know what they said, but evidently, you know, she never even said what they said, but I think that she felt that she was being, you know, that it was very condescending toward her. Very judgmental. In such a way that this girl wanted to go home. I mean, she didn't want to be there. In fact, I mean, it's probably a good thing that we showed up. You know, and she was excited that we were there. And, you know, which feels good, but, you know, it's sad because not everybody can be like me. I'm joking once again. You know, but I know Dad even talked about, on Sunday morning, he talked about when we had the VIP program. And remember the VIP program? And that was great. But the reason we did the program wasn't just for a short time. It was actually an example of something that we should do all the time. Pay for people's meals every once in a while. Just be nice to people. You know, buy the person behind you, you know, their Starbucks in line. Starbucks is getting expensive now. So, I mean, that's a big deal now. It used to not be a big, it's cheaper to buy their McDonald's than it is their Starbucks. I mean, Sad but true. You know, because Starbucks, you know, it's something about the cup. Do you realize that we judge people? If people carrying around a Starbucks cup, you know, we think, man, they're high class. They're carrying around a Quick Trip cup. I mean, they're cheap, you know, cheapskate. Although, but they had to walk in. Starbucks didn't win the drive-thru. They had to wait in the five cars in front of them. That guy had to walk in and get their own coffee. Well, they go to Quick Trip. Oh, golly. Who cares? Do you realize if the caffeine content's the same, it's probably doing the same thing? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I don't care whose coffee you like or, you know, and then you can make your own half cup, you know, half decaf, half calf, whatever you do, you know, gluten-free, keto coffee. And get a donut with it, too, at Quick Trip. I mean, you got that thing. You know, kind of like the guy that orders this big thing and, you know, let me have a chocolate, you know, piece of pie and Diet Coke. They're being healthy. You know, but, man, you know, in the world today, we just need to be nice. I mean, the biggest way we can witness as a Christian is to be nice to people, is to treat people nicely. You know, in fact, it's one of the two laws that Jesus gave us. Do you realize that Jesus only gave us two commandments? He gave us two commandments. Turn to Matthew. I didn't mark it. I think it's 23, I believe. It might be 22. That's a bad thing about, you know, not having your real Bible here, is that I have to find it in my, if I didn't mark my scripture. Here we go. Matthew 22, 36 says this, "Teacher," they're talking to Jesus, "which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, actually 36 and then 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So basically Jesus said, if you'll keep these two commandments, you'll keep all the commandments. Because my grandfather always said, if you love someone, you're not going to kill them. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to lie to them. You know, you're going to keep all the commandments. He said, you know, but the first one, what I call the no duh commandment, you should love God with all your heart. No duh, you're a Christian. That should be the easy one. If you're having a tough time with that, then we need a counseling for you. Pastor Bill will come talk to you afterwards. He's the best counselor we have on staff. I mean, you know, our spiritual guidance, you know, but you know, nobody has a problem with the first one. I found out, you know, every Christian I talk to, they're good with the first one. It's the second one they have the problem with. It literally says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now you realize, so that means if you were your server, would you treat your server like you're treating, you know, them? Because it's about how you treat yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you treat everybody in life like you treat yourself, and I believe most of us want to treat ourselves really good. I mean, we live in the selfie generation. In fact, so many people are so good at treating themselves, not only do they take selfies, then they get on their applications and they make themselves look skinnier because they want to treat themselves really good. You know, make them take out the little zit that they happen to have right here or little blemish there, you know. It's interesting, you know, people take selfies and it takes 30 minutes to post that selfie because you have to edit the selfie. Because you want to make yourself look good because you want to love yourself. And you want everybody else to love you. So the point is, Jesus is saying, you know what? I don't really care how much you love yourself. The point is, however much you love yourself, you got to love everybody else that same amount. Amen. And if you don't, you're not fulfilling the law. In fact, you know, everybody knows math, right? I hope you did. If you didn't, the answers to the odd questions are in the back of your book. In math, I mean, if you're taking a test and there's two questions and you get one of them wrong, that gives you a 50%. That's failing. And that's where most people are in their Christian walk. They love God, but the second one, they're failing on question number two. They don't love people. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, if you ask them, do you love, oh yeah, I love everybody. Okay, but actions speak louder than words. Well, but I didn't mean to be rude. Yeah, but this person don't know what you mean. Well, I'm not usually like that. Well, they don't know how you're usually like. No, it's a little different. I mean, you know, I have a relationship with this person. I've been, you know, she's been my server for 3 years and I usually go there twice a week. All right, if I came in one day and acted a little snippy, she'd probably just give me the benefit of the doubt I was having a bad day. She'd probably even ask me, you having a bad day? She knows me. So, she didn't really know me, but she recognized me. She knows I come there. She knows I normally am really a nice person, you know. So, but she could overlook that. But this person, if they don't know you, when you have a relationship with somebody, you know, it's a little different. When you just, you know, meet someone for the first time, and also you realize that first impressions are really hard to overcome. If their first impression of you is not good, it's going to be really hard to think good about you at any point in time. But, you know, the other side about it is that you are, you know, that we, especially if people know that we go to a church, we represent Christ. And we represent other Christians. And, you know, so the fact of the matter is, the reason that I wanted to point out to this lady that I not only was a Christian, I was a pastor, because I want her to think you know, more highly about Christians. You know, and I don't want her to think, well, it's just your church is nice and other churches are not. Because that's not the way it is. All right? I mean, we as Christians, you know, should be Christ-like. Do you realize the reason that we are Christians is because we're like Christ? And we read the word about being imitators of God or being imitators of Christ, walking in love. That's what Christ wants us to do. You know, and if we're really treating people like we treat ourselves, then we're going to be nice. You know, like I said, do unto others before they do it unto you. No, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Treat people like yourself. You know, and it's not that hard. You know, and like I said, I've always really encouraged people to leave them good tips, and you should leave a good tip. All right, I believe that, you know, if they know you're Christian, you should leave a better tip. Why are you? Because you should be better than everybody else. Yeah, but they didn't give me better service. It's not about what they did for you. I mean, if that was Jesus' mentality, he probably wouldn't die on the cross for you. If it was about how you treated him. Now, obviously, I understand you weren't around during that time, you know, but your ancestors were. You know, your great, 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 whatever, you know. You know, everyone in this room, I know there's two people you're related to. You know who they are? Noah and Adam. Because Earth was wiped out. So there's only Noah and his family. And then in the beginning, obviously, had to be related to Adam and Eve. If you weren't, then you're an alien. I'm just being honest. I mean, you know, it's called genetics. I mean, you know. Now, some people, we kind of wonder about you. Maybe you were an alien. Maybe you did come from another planet. I mean, you know, I even asked my mom one time if I was an alien. Because I didn't seem to be much like my mom or my dad for a long time. And in fact, I don't know how many times growing up people go, I don't know who you look like. They didn't know. So I don't know. But, you know, how hard is it to be nice? Is it really that hard? Is it that hard? I mean, should anyone have to tell you to be nice? I mean, maybe I grew up in a different generation, but the generation I grew up, I mean, that was kind of expected. To be nice, to treat people with respect. You know, and the thing about it was, what's so ironic was, you know, she didn't tell me the age of the people, but I'm assuming it was skewed a little older. She was more happy with the young kids that were disrespectful, and she knew they're going to be disrespectful, and she was okay with that because she understood that that's what they are. They're young kids, and they're supposed to be disrespectful. She wasn't okay with a bunch of older people that were supposed to be Christ-like not being Christ-like. And then we want to know why we can't win her to the kingdom. Now, who knows? I mean, maybe these people were trying to witness to her. I don't know what they were trying to do. I just know that they made her mad. And it's kind of like the guy, one time, back when I was doing youth ministry, I'd drive around sometimes on a Friday night, and people were hanging out with their cars and just hanging out. And I just go talk to them sometimes. Just be nice to them. All right? Not every Friday night, but whatever, happened to be around close enough to these guys. And so I met some guys, because we had mutual respect for their cars and my car and things. Then I came back about a month later to talk to them, and they were standoffish toward me. Now, here's the reason is because I don't know that they knew that I was a pastor at Rhema, but they knew I was affiliated with Rhema. And so what happened was there were some Rhema people that came and tried to witness to them. And, I'm just on the try part. All right. The way they tried was they were very condescending toward these people. And they were basically, turn or burn type mentality. So whenever I went there, back to talk with them and be nice to them, that they were reluctant to talk to me because they knew that me and them had some kind of similar affiliation. I'm like, those people are not like me. I had to disown those folks. Sad part about it, I know who some of those people were. I can't help them. I mean, they had Doug Jones for their teacher. What am I supposed to do about them? That's a joke, okay? They weren't in my class, no. We love Brother Doug. It wasn't Doug's fault. I guarantee it wasn't his fault. He would never treat anyone like that. It's because they didn't listen in class, probably. They were too busy being too spiritual. Because these people were all too spiritual, I will tell you that. Anyway, the point is, man, just be nice. I know we've been told all our life that we might be the only Jesus anybody ever sees. And people kind of laugh about it. But a lot of times it's true. That's how this woman thought. And she based her whole experience. In fact, I rocked her world whenever I said I was a pastor. That really literally rocked her world because she didn't think a pastor could be nice. And that rocks my world. That rocks my world that she thought that these group of Christians act just like every group of Christians act. It bothered me. It bothered me. So what I want to tell you, man, just be nicer to people. You don't know their story. Maybe it was said, well, yeah, but they were kind of rude to me, or they were this, or they were that, or maybe they were slow or whatever. And I get it. Sometimes, I know that servers aren't really good. Like one had a server one time that told me that they had just let we were there with the singles group, and they had just let them, they had two cooks and let one go. So they were down to one cook. So they only had one cook doing everything. So, it's going to be a little longer. In fact, the manager's in there helping them. So, it was easier to wait knowing that they were having issues. It wasn't the lady's fault. And I get it. Sometimes, that we are not always having good days or whatever. But you know what? We should do our best to treat people with respect, to love people, to be like Christ, to walk in love. I mean, understand, Jesus gave us two commandments, not two suggestions. He didn't suggest, maybe you should be nice to people. No, he says, the reason he said treat them like yourself is because he's figuring that you're going to love yourself. He's figuring that's a no-duh thing. Now, another sermon I have is the reason why people cannot love anybody else because they don't love themselves, and that's a whole other sermon we'll get to at some point in time, but it's time to go. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here tonight, and we thank you for their lives. And Father, help us to be a better witness for Christ at all times, Father. Father, we thank you that as we're living our daily lives, we thank you that you'll bring people across our path at all times, that we can be a witness for Christ, and help us to be just a nice person when it comes to situations and whenever we encounter other folks. Help us to be the kind of witness that we should be, Father. And we just thank you for everything you're doing in our life, and thank you for just helping us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.